This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Friday, April 26, 2013. The Associated Press reports that after a lengthy and contentious process, the state of Colorado has granted a license for construction to begin on the first new uranium mill in the United States in more than 30 years. Yesterday, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment granted Energy Fuels a radioactive materials license, clearing the way for construction on the facility in Montrose County. The Pinyon Ridge Mill is expected to process 500 tons of uranium and vanadium per day. Vanadium is used in steel alloys and high-tech batteries. The mill will primarily process ore from mines in Gateway, Colorado and LaSalle, Utah. The ore will be transformed into uranium oxide, which will be sent out of state to be turned into fuel for nuclear reactors. Colorado originally authorized the project in 2011, prompting appeals from a handful of activist groups. A Denver judge eventually invalidated that license after finding that the state did not hold formal public hearings. Opponents worry about the potential for hazardous waste contamination. The Department of Public Health and Environment insists in its environmental analysis that appropriate safeguards are in place. The license was issued with several conditions, including that Energy Fuels develop a groundwater monitoring plan, which will be reviewed annually. The license itself is subject to periodic review and must be renewed whenever there is a change to operation procedures or key personnel. Additionally, the Department of Public Health and Environment plans to designate at least one staff member whose priority will be monitoring and inspecting the mill. The department's executive director, Chris Urbina, said that this will not require any additional personnel resources. The environmental analysis notes that 88% of the land within 5 miles of the proposed site is undeveloped and administered by the U.S. Bureau of Land Management. Some privately owned land is used to graze cattle, but the report says there are very few residences near where the mill will be built. Energy Fuels still has to secure permits related to the construction of the facility. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that a Grand Junction-centered drug ring has ties to a Mexican kingpin. Dan Rubenstein, Mesa County Chief Deputy District Attorney, said yesterday at a press conference that a 4-month investigation had resulted in the arrests of 25 people this week. 11 more remain at large, including a man identified only as Kane and described as the kingpin. The investigation resulted in the seizure of 10 pounds of methamphetamine, 9 pounds of cocaine, more than $144,000 in cash, 9 firearms, and 8 vehicles. The Denver Post reports that a divided Colorado Court of Appeals panel on Thursday upheld the firing of a man for off-the-job legal medical marijuana use. Brandon Coates, a quadriplegic medical marijuana patient, was fired from his job as a telephone operator at Dish Network after testing positive for marijuana. Colorado's lawful off-duty activities statute says employers can't fire employees for doing legal things off the clock. Coates said that the statute should apply in his case since there is no evidence he was impaired on the job. But 2 of the 3 judges on the Court of Appeals concluded that because marijuana is illegal under federal law, employees have no protection to use it anytime. The decision, which is precedent-setting, has broad implications not just for medical marijuana patients, but for any adult using marijuana in Colorado since voters legalized the substance in November. The case is the first to look at whether off-duty marijuana use that is legal under state law is protected by the state's lawful off-duty activities statute. Dissenting Judge John Webb argued the statute was intended to protect employees from discriminatory firing. All three judges agreed, however, in reversing a previous ruling, that Coates should have to pay Dish Network's attorney's fees for the case. Thursday's decision comes as lawmakers are debating how to regulate legalized marijuana for anyone 21 and older. Amendment 64, the state measure that legalized use and possession of up to an ounce of marijuana for adults, says employers can create drug policies governing marijuana. Meanwhile, the Denver Post reports the campaign behind Amendment 64 has called a news conference for this morning to decry what they say is a secret effort to repeal the marijuana legalization measure that's afoot in the legislature. I imagine we'll have more for that on Monday. The Boulder Daily Camera reports that University of Colorado President Bruce Benson said he would not support the CU Foundation divesting of fossil fuels, a move recently approved by the student body. "I'm not going to do that," said Benson, who noted he got his start working in the oil business in 1957 and continued, "It's a great industry." In the spring election, students voted in favor of divesting of fossil fuels by a 2-to-1 margin. According to the CU student government website, almost 6,400 students cast their votes on the ballot question. But Benson said, "Exciting things are happening in the natural gas industry, which he said has a relatively small carbon footprint." Benson said the CU system only receives 5.3% of its annual funding from the state, and alternative funding sources need to be explored. Fundraisers at CU collected a record-setting $228.6 million during the last fiscal year. But Benson said the school could do better. He said the University of California at Berkeley raised over $400 million. "The second largest planet is brighter than it's been in the last 5 years," says Joyce Tanahara, a member of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. Here's the latest Western Slope skies.
Saturn, the ring planet, the sixth planet from the sun, second largest in the solar system behind Jupiter, and the one that evokes the most vivid images in our thoughts. It is an unforgettable sight, even in a small telescope. From now until early May, Saturn will be the brightest it has been for more than 5 years. It rises in the east as the sun sets and will be visible all night long. Saturn is a giant gas planet composed mostly of hydrogen and helium. The rings, which make the planet so fascinating to view, are made up mostly of water ice particles and dust. They are 150,000 miles across, but are amazingly less than 100 feet thick. When the rings are tilted toward us, sunlight reflects brilliantly from these particles. For the next 4 years, as the tilting increases, they will become even more visible. Titan, Saturn's largest moon, can be readily seen in binoculars. It is interesting because it is the only natural satellite known to have a dense atmosphere, and the only object found, other than Earth, that seems to have stable bodies of surface liquid, even though that liquid is methane. From home, you will need at least a small telescope to get a decent view of Saturn and its rings. But the best way to get a great view is to contact an amateur astronomy group and or look for outreaches listed on the KVNF calendar or in your local newspaper. I still remember the first time I saw Saturn through a telescope and couldn't believe it was real. You have been listening to Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. I'm Joyce Tanihara.
And finally, do you have old and unused printers, computers, or screens? Don't forget the local countywide electronics recycling drive tomorrow. That's Saturday, April 27th, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. in Delta County in Hotchkiss at the fairgrounds parking lot and in Delta at Aaron's parking lot. Seven local organizations are hosting the event. Most electronics will be recycled for free, with the exception of a few items. I believe televisions and monitors may have a small fee. For more information, see theconservationcenter.org. Thus concludes today's newscast. Good Friday morning to you. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.